Now, the long-held Republican promise to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, stalled in the Senate last night after two Republican senators pulled their support for the Senate's health care bill. The bill was already facing unanimous opposition from Senate Democrats, and Republican Senators Susan Collins of Maine and Rand Paul of Kentucky had already come out against it.
Congress's inability to rally around a plan to repeal the Affordable Care Act has some people relieved, while others, like President Trump, have expressed their frustration that an agreement couldn't be reached.
Tom Oliver joins us now. He's a professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. Tom, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be with you.
Well, before we look at the road ahead, what's your reaction to the failure of this Senate bill?
Well, I think we're looking at something that, on the one hand, seemed inevitable, given the fact that public opinion was running 2-1 to 3-1 against this kind of legislation, going all the way back to the point that the House of Representatives passed its legislation. There were always a lot of people on the fence. The governors were in open revolt, including Republican governors, all health care providers. And the insurance industry even were coming out in opposition to it. So on the one hand, you wonder, why did this even get to this point? On the other hand, this is a solid Republican Congress in many ways, with a Republican president, and it is their number one promise that people would say they were supposed to follow through on. And so I think in the end, it's surprising, and I think that's why it explains why this was really a zombie piece of reform that kept coming back long after it seemed like it ought to be dead.
Well, there are a few options now for Republicans in Congress and the president. One of them, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, was trying for this. It looks like there are enough Republican senators against it that it won't happen. But the idea of not repeal and replace, but repeal, have kind of a phased out repeal over the course of a couple of years, that in that time figure out what comes next. Again, it seems like that's probably not going to happen, but what are your thoughts on what that would mean if it were to happen?
Well, the reason you can't repeal is the only reason there was any chance of success was that there would be a replacement. That's both for public opinion, but also the politics were that you can't just replace something substantial like the Affordable Care Act and the progress that's been made under it over the last 7 years with nothing. And a promise of doing something in the future is really quite empty. And I think that's what Republicans ran up against, is that they're taking away meaningful benefits from millions and millions of people, including many of their own voters. The replacement is a simple word, but in fact, I think what is clear now is that Republicans just simply don't have a policy that can come in and plausibly sustain, let alone improve, the healthcare system as we know it. You have to balance cost control with access to affordable care, and you've got to keep working on quality and reducing a lot of the problems that we have in terms of making sure we deliver effective care and do it in an efficient way. So balancing all those things, there was never anything in these proposals that really paid attention to all three parameters. And so I think, you know, what it was is all politics and really not very good policy. And so it was a lemon, and I think people really recognized that. I think the interesting thing is it, of course, split the Republicans along the lines of Susan Collins from Maine being maybe the most moderate member of her caucus, to Senator Paul, Senator Lee, Senator Johnson from Wisconsin being very much more conservative, and they couldn't reach agreement. And so I don't think there was ever anything in the cards that they could come up with a replacement. Even if somebody could write a good policy, I don't think it would have held up in the politics.
Tom Oliver is with us from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the failure of the Senate repeal and replace plan for the Affordable Care Act and what comes next. Here's President Trump disappointed today. Here's some of what he had to say.
I've been hearing about repeal and replace, and Obamacare is a total disaster. Some states had over a 200% increase a 200% increase in their premiums, and their deductibles are through the roof. It's an absolute disaster. And I think you'll also agree that I've been saying for a long time, let Obamacare fail, and then everybody's going to have to come together and fix it and come up with a new plan, and a plan that's really good for the people with much lower premiums, much lower costs, and much better protection.
Two separate points there, the problem and a possible solution. Let's start with the problem as he describes it. Is Obamacare a total disaster, Tom?
Well, we've talked in the past about how we've made remarkable progress in the last 7 years since the passage of the Affordable Care Act, both in terms of the scope of coverage, tens of millions of Americans gaining coverage who didn't have it, keeping some kind of cost control. We've actually saved a lot of money compared with forecasts back in those days to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. The numbers that the president were referring to were kind of cherry-picking numbers, and they tend to be things that are happening outside of Obamacare itself. Nonetheless, the Republicans, starting with the president, now bear some responsibility for deciding whether we, in fact, are going to stabilize the insurance markets and keep the exchanges that the states or the federal government have been running alive and well. And I think that's what the insurance industry is asking for, help them manage the process so that people aren't priced out of this and they will willingly come forward and buy insurance.
We'll look more at that stabilization idea in a bit, but President Trump there apparently saying let Obamacare fail, do nothing to help it. In a while, there'll be a crisis and we'll have to come up with a plan. What happens if we have, I guess, a do-nothing approach right now?
Well, we've talked about this too, I think. Basically, 6% of Americans get coverage in the part of that the president is referring to, either Obamacare, the exchanges that were set up, or through private individual insurance that is still available. And so even if Obamacare were to die in the sense that he's referring to it, it would only affect a very small proportion of Americans. It's still millions of Americans, but it's a very small number relative to the numbers who are getting their care otherwise. The big deal was always, are you going to also roll back Medicaid? And currently, looking forward, are you going to keep a commitment to the community health centers and the prevention programs that the Affordable Care Act also included, not just insurance coverage?
And then you mentioned the idea of stabilizing the exchange and the individual markets. There's been talk of trying to come up with a bipartisan approach in Congress and people saying it with a straight face, bipartisan approach on this. What might that look like? What would it take? What kind of nudges would be needed to help those places where, say, there's only one insurance provider left or where we are seeing significant premium increases?
Well, there were three different kinds of protections for insurance companies that were willing to participate in these exchanges. And Congress, once the Republicans took charge of it in 2012, they really rolled those back and failed to fund those. And so insurance companies have viewed in many states this as a very dicey proposition if they aren't really sure that people will follow through and buy as they're required to under the individual mandate. They feel they may be left on the hook with severe losses. And a few companies have suffered losses. On the whole, though, this has been at least a marginally profitable business, and most insurance companies want to participate if they can. So I think Congress needs to revisit those stabilization, the reinsurance, and other protections that if you do have a bad year, and it's because you had especially sick individuals in your plan, that you will be helped out a little bit and protected. So those are the kinds of things that state by state, that's where the governors and that's where a number of the representatives are really worried about making sure this happens. I think if we can get past the political fallout here, if you do nothing, it seems likely that Republicans will be held responsible, and the whole House of Representatives, of course, is up for re-election next year, and people will likely remember that if that. And so I think there's going to be a lot of effort to sort of let the dust settle and come back and sort of stop talking about Obamacare and trying to and really try to help the health insurance system keep delivering reasonable products and keep them affordable.
Tom Oliver is with us talking about the Senate health care bill and what happens now that it is off the table. He's a professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health.
And you can join us at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the Senate's plan? Are you upset that Obamacare will not be repealed and replaced at the moment? Or are you maybe relieved? And what do you think should happen next with health care overall? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can leave your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation about the Senate health care bill's demise with Tom Oliver. Tom's a professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think should happen now with health care and federal laws about health care? Are you surprised to see the Senate health care bill lose steam? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or bring up questions that our guest might be able to answer for you. Again, 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And Tom, it seems like a core problem this week and going back to the beginnings of the Affordable Care Act in some ways is a fundamental disagreement about how we do healthcare. Do we need to bring in younger, healthier people to balance out the sicker people who are more expensive to take care of? Or do we have a separate two-tier system where some people can get cheap, less comprehensive healthcare and we figure out some high-risk pool or something else for the people who cost more?
Yeah, no, this is absolutely the core question about do you have to stand on your own 2 feet or is the concept of insurance pooling people who need care today, maybe very expensive care, or along with lots of people who don't need it right at the moment. And you saw this in the willingness, and we'll see it going forward, the willingness to enforce the law requiring people to buy insurance or pay a fine, basically, for not doing so. And that is to get the younger, healthier people into the pool and lower the risk and therefore lower the premiums for everybody else in the pool. The other thing is Senator Cruz from Texas had proposed allowing insurance companies to go back to the old days of selling very restricted coverage. We've heard this conversation about, oh, why do men need coverage with maternity benefits? Why does somebody who's not suffering from mental illness need that kind of coverage, et cetera, et cetera? And so that kind of will all kinds of illnesses and conditions that require attention from prevention to primary care to significant surgeries and other procedures, will those all be included in the coverage? And that's where I think a lot of the people who showed up over the last couple of months to town meetings and other demonstrations were really out there saying, you know, almost all of us have some risk. If we don't currently have it, somebody in our family does, or we will eventually have something. And if we have to buy insurance on our own 2 feet, that's not really protection. And that's why the U.S. leads the world in bankruptcy due to health care costs.
Let's go to our callers now. Doug is with us in Waukesha. Doug, hi.
Good afternoon. I guess if we look at 8 years ago that the health care law was passed without any Republican support whatsoever. And now there was an attempt to repeal and replace without any Democratic support whatsoever. I guess I'm asking an honest question. Why isn't the best thing at this point to repeal the bill, allow a groundswell of support for the universal health care to come up from citizens and force now both Republicans and Democrats to come to a table to instead of doing it in secret like the Senate attempts to do it in the open, transparent, and come together with a bill that, that both sides would compromise on and then present it to the president for signature.
Doug, thanks for the call. Start from scratch, in effect, Tom, and come up with a real bipartisan solution.
Well, I think the simple answer is there's not a Democrat or independent in the Congress who thinks that what would happen is better than the Affordable Care Act. And so why would they support dismantling that? I think, you know, there are historical examples where there were efforts over some major issues to bring bipartisan attention through a commission or through some kind of study group, but those it's really our institutions that are broken, that are really divided so significantly along partisan lines that we can't even get to the point where if you did repeal the Affordable Care Act, that there's any guarantee that Congress could produce something for a president to sign anytime in the near future. And I think the suffering that would occur along the way is why you won't see those kinds of ideas come forward. And so what we're back into is, can we get some bipartisanship on some very technical fixes to a few of the issues that have crept up as we've gone forward with the Affordable Care Act? But simply yanking coverage away from 20-some million people is nobody's idea of a good idea at the moment, I think, without any promise that it will be replaced almost immediately.
Doug, thanks for that call. We're talking to Tom Oliver from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health about the future of federal health care policy after a Senate plan was taken off the table. Back to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Mary is with us in Muskego. Mary, hi.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment about the mandates that seems to excite a lot of people and to get rid of Obamacare. But we have other mandates that we put up with in our lives, such as car insurance and putting public school money in our property taxes. I want to live in a world where I sent my kids to private schools, and I want to live in a world where people are educated and people are healthy. So having mandates out there, that's out there to better our world.
Mary, thanks for the call. One difference with this mandate that people brought up back at the outset, Tom, was the ones she mentioned were state mandates. There were constitutional issues people raised about a federal mandate affecting the states. But the general concept, Tom, of the health care mandate still in effect, I guess, after the failure of that Senate bill.
Well, it's in effect, but it's essentially up to the IRS to enforce the penalty. And I think we're hearing a lot of back conversation about maybe the Trump administration will call off the IRS or find a way to persuade its reviewers to basically ignore that. And so if the word gets out that you can get away without buying insurance if you feel you don't need it, or let's face it, feel there's other priorities in your life if you're young and have very modest income, or you're middle age and have very modest income, there's a lot of other things you'd like to do instead of paying health insurance premiums. But without that full participation, the cost of health care for the people who know they need it gets very, very prohibitively expensive very quickly.
Thanks for the call, Mary. We heard from Paul, who couldn't stay on the line. Paul asks, why don't lawmakers just cut out insurance companies at this point and go to universal health care? The high costs, Paul says, are in the insurance industry.
I think that's going to be the Democratic strategy, to be honest. I think they've been emboldened when they realize that people have come forward, including in Republican states, talking to the Republican lawmakers, that they really care about this. Shelley Capito, the senator from West Virginia, was the only Republican that I've seen who responded to what she was doing by saying, "I didn't come to Washington to hurt people." But Senator Moran from Texas, from Kansas, one of the people who pulled the plug on the whole Senate bill, he faced a whole town hall meeting of people who say, "This really matters. This is really important to us. This is a human dimension, and this is a health care right." So the question that comes up is the logical extension to instead of keep propping up the private insurance industry, which is what the Affordable Care Act did. It was the great Save the Private Insurance Industry Act of 2010, in my opinion. The natural thing is to say, well, why don't we let people fall back? Instead of protecting this private insurance and making all these rules, why don't we simply open up Medicare or create a public option for people under age 65 that's similar to Medicare, and let's see if we can sustain that. It's certainly a lot simpler than trying to do federal and state action across the board in so many different areas.
We'll leave it there for now. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks so much. Take care.
That's Tom Oliver, professor of population health sciences at the University of Wisconsin School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us to talk about the Senate health care bill's collapse and what happens next.
And tune in tomorrow morning after 7 when Joy Cardine also takes a look at proposals from the left and the right on the future of health care, range, and more competition to a single-payer plan.